Chapter 17. Making Plans. Remember the day when I first set my eyes on you, and you said the same. Seemed like everything was right for us. Endless nights of loving. All my doubts and fears went away. So tell me what went wrong, now I need you. Sarah Brightman, Ship of Fools. Zoe settled back in the chair, suppressing a weary sigh. Her ankles ached. Funny, that. Her feet had hurt plenty of times. All the running they did, their line of work, it was expected. But she couldn't recall her ankles ever hurting. They swelled up some, too, when she'd been too long on her feet. It was such a little thing, taken alongside the rest of the changes her body had undergone the past almost 6 months. But for some reason, it really bothered her. Life woke in her belly, roiling and kicking. She rubbed her hand over the swell, murmuring soft, soothing words, fighting against the lump in her throat. Wash, you should be here, Goramit. Who's going to hold my hand when the time comes? Not Offer, but it ain't his job. Shouldn't have to be. I'm scared. And Zoe Elaine Washburn is never scared. It ain't fair. And that was the worst of it. She missed him so much. And she ached for his goofy smile and the warmth of his arms around her. And she was angry, so angry, that he'd left her to bear this alone. She was strong enough. She'd always been strong enough, but Goramit, some days she was sick and tired of having to be strong enough. He was supposed to be here to run and fetch for her, to get her the silly foodstuffs she craved, to put up with her grousing about it being all his fault, and getting misty-eyed with her over what they'd created between them. Instead, she had to soldier on like always, and pretend she was as stoic as ever, for her own sake as much as everyone else's. And she hated it. For the first time, she hated being the perfect soldier. And she was angry at Wash, and angry at Mal for putting her husband in a position to die, and furious with herself for letting it happen. Angry at feeling vulnerable now that he was gone, when she'd never been vulnerable in her life. Angry at being scared. And now, with Three Hills, there was all kinds of new things to be scared about, in addition to the usual. Someone knocked softly on the doorframe, and Zoe looked up to see the doctor, looking hesitant. It didn't strike her as an expression that often graced his face. "Doc, arriving early for the meeting?" He gestured to the otherwise empty dining room. "Am I disturbing you?" "Captain's rounding up everybody else," she said, sidestepping the question. He was disturbing her. She still couldn't figure him out. But considering the unhappy whirlpool her solitary thoughts were locking into, it wasn't necessarily a bad thing. "He told me what happened at the carnival. I'm glad you and the girls are all right." "Yes, bit of a disturbance, that. I must say, River's, talents are remarkable." He offered her a tentative smile and sank into a chair. "How are you feeling?" "Like a whale," said Zoe, honestly. He didn't want to discuss the carnival, she realized, or Three Hills. Well, neither did she, really. Seemed fair enough. They'd all have to hash it over and over again soon enough. "But I understand that's normal. Or so Simon says." "He's a gifted doctor." "He's a gifted surgeon," she corrected. "But I ain't decided yet if he's a gifted baby doctor. As far as I know, he's only ever delivered one baby." She thought about that a moment, and added, "Though, since he did it in the middle of a god-awful firefight, I suppose that's something. Just seems to me that men get more fussed than they ought when babies are involved." The doctor's dark eyes grew blurred, looking at something far in the past. "I suppose it's true enough that the male half of the species gets more flapped than the female over childbirth, probably because they can't do it themselves. I remember when my—" He stopped abruptly and swallowed hard. The blur in his eyes took on a sheen of something Zoe thought looked like pain. Then he blinked, and the moment passed. "Still," he said in a forced bright tone, "I'm sure he, and all the other menfolk on this boat, we'll do just swimmingly when the time comes." His eyes locked onto hers. "And so will you," he added firmly. Zoe's fingers tightened over her belly. "I expect so," she said coolly, unwilling to let him see her worry. She had an uneasiness in her that said that it was no good, that he'd already read her like a Goram book, that it was why he'd said those reassuring, confident, disturbing words. Mal had mentioned the man was almost surely a reader. They were saved in awkward silence by Mal's arrival. Behind him followed the rest of the crew. Kaylee, quiet and subdued, her arm around Inara's waist for comfort. Jane and Simon arguing in low tones over something. River entering last of all, as silent and enigmatic as ever. Zoe found herself relaxing some. Her family, the survivors at least, in one place, all safe and sound. She obsessed over it these days, in the privacy of her own head, like she never had before. She found herself worried, upset, even, when she didn't have them in sight. Even Jane, and that was amusing in a not very kind of manner. Maybe it was part of the pregnancy. Maybe it was the scars of Miranda. But if she could keep them all safe aboard Serenity, in some forgotten corner of the Black, she'd be as happy as could be. This wasn't practical, soldier-to-the-bone Zoe. This was a new Zoe. One she hadn't gotten to know very well yet. This was a Zoe who found herself considering not just the immediate future, but a future that lay years off, a future in which she was responsible for the shaping and molding of a human soul. Also a Zoe who did not focus as much as she ought on immediate things. Mal was talking already, filling those who hadn't been there in on what had happened to the girls and the doctor earlier. Three Hills. Near as I can conjure a theory, what happened on Three Hills has got big secret science project written all over it. Maybe it's a coincidence, Reavers destroying the settlement right after we killed the Reavers in the woods, but I don't think so. "This to do with Miranda?" asked Jane. "Got no idea," admitted Mal. "Maybe, maybe not. Got to do with the Reavers, and these days it seems like Reavers are our own personal boogeymen to deal with. Whatever it is, us helping Zeke out has sunk us neck deep in it. We already got folk after us for what we know, which ain't much just now, and I ain't gonna hope they'll just get bored and go away." Mal sighed. "The job is at the airlock for the moment. If we got people seriously hunting us, then trying to heist some Gorham fake alien for Badger is right down at the bottom of my priority list." Jane's face twisted up. Zoe expected him to protest, as he always did when Mal's sense of honor got in the way of their profit. But to her mild surprise, he just let out a sharp huff and didn't argue at all. "Badger ain't gonna like it," was all he said. "Fact is," Mal continued, "we gotta find out what's going on, and fast. Someone out there thinks we know something we don't, and if we got any hope of getting out of this, we need to find out what it is we don't know." He hesitated, perhaps realizing he'd gotten more than a bit tangled up in that last sentence. "We may not have time," put in the doctor. "In my experience, the types who like to play these sorts of nasty games very much dislike having others find out about it. The speed of what happened on Three Hills, and the incident at the carnival, is an indication of just how fast they can really move." Jane scowled at the doctor. "How do they find you, anyhow?" "The large flashing sign over my head that reads Meddler," came the bland reply. Then, as confusion wrinkled the big man's forehead, the doctor added, "There seems to have been some kind of psychic tracer on the tag we picked up. Don't worry, I disabled it. I want a closer study of the things at some point, but in the meantime, I think our best hope of finding information lies in the office at Rainier Enterprises." "Hang on," said Zoe, shifting her weight. "Why Rainier?" "Oh, well, the man who jumped us at the carnival earlier was from Rainier's company. Didn't I mention that?" The doctor hunched his shoulders a little under her glare. "Sorry, yes. It seems that the mysterious Mr. Rainier, he of the alien of dubious provenance, has his fingers in this particular pie." "The doc took an ident card off one of the men," Kaylee said. "Should get us through the door, at least." "The door, maybe," said Mal, skeptically. "But I doubt it'll do much about real-life folk. Near as I can figure, folks in offices as big and important as Rainier are going to be suspicious." "Not exactly," said the doctor. "In my experience, most folk don't question you if you act like you know where you're going and you belong there. I make a notable exception of the military in this instance, of course." "Rainier is one of the biggest entertainment names on the planet," Mal retorted. "Man himself might be powerfully mysterious, but he's still important. I can't see folk working in his main office just ignoring nosy people." "You might be surprised. People in a corporate setting tend to be even less interested in their surroundings than anyone else. Probably because they're bored to death. But even if we do encounter a particularly bright and alert go-getter, I wouldn't worry about it," the doctor said cheerily. "I've got just the thing." And with a flourish, a stage magician might envy, the doctor produced a battered leather wallet, apparently out of thin air, and held it up triumphantly. Jane frowned. "What's that?" he demanded. By way of answer, the doctor tossed him the wallet. Jane caught it easily and flipped it open. His frown deepened with bewilderment. "Dr. John Smith, monkey keeper," he read. Jane looked up. "How the hell does something that says monkey keeper get us into a high-security office building?" "Is that what it says?" asked the doctor, lifting his eyebrows. "Are you sure? What do you think, Kaylee?" Kaylee shot him a puzzled look, but leaned over to see over Jane's shoulder. "It don't say nothing about monkeys," she said, shooting Jane a glare. "It says, Sir John Smith, Director of Antiquities." The doctor's grin broadened as Jane began to splutter indignantly. He leaned across to recover the leather wad. "You're both correct," he said, before the argument between the merc and the mechanic could heat up. "This," he held up the wad between two fingers, "shows someone whatever I want them to see, or whatever they expect to see." He opened it and showed it to Mal. Mal blinked. "John Smith, accounting," he said. He looked back up at the doctor, a question in his eyes. "It's psychic paper," said the doctor. "Well, slightly psychic paper. Next to my sonic screwdriver, it's the most useful thing in the universe. I can tell them I'm a police officer, a corporate executive, anything I like, or that will make them give us access to the places I want to go." Zoe gave some thought to all the things they could do with a piece of paper that showed whatever kind of ID they wanted someone to see. From the look on Miles' face, he was thinking the same thing. "Huh," he said. "So we could get into that office without any trouble?" The doctor nodded. "Provided none of us does something really obvious, like wear a sign that says, Gatecrasher, or take Jane along." He ignored Jane's indignant, "Hey!" "I suppose you want to go." The doctor spread his hands, his expression innocent. "It is my paper," he said. "Yeah." Mal sighed and shot a look at Zoe. Her eyebrow twitched in question. She considered their options, rubbing a hand pensively over her stomach. The baby kicked a rib, and she suppressed a wince. "The doc got the experience using the stuff," she said, finally. "If you think you can trust him, sir, I don't see why he can't go." Mal nodded. "All right. Now, if we..."
"I'm going."
Zoe did not join the others in turning to stare at Inara in surprise. There was a set to the woman's jaw and a fire in her dark, dark eyes that Zoe thought she recognized. "I wonder if you know just how far down the path you're going, Inara," she thought. "A step or two further, and you'll never go back again." Mal's response was reflective, and typically idiotic. "No way in hell!"
"Have you ever been in a corporate office, Mal?" asked Inara, coolly.
"That's not..."
"I have. The Guild deals with nearly every major corporation in the Verse, on all levels of business."
She shot a glare at Jane as the mercenary started to grin. Jane, showing uncharacteristic wisdom, hastily wiped the smirk off his face.
"And I'm sorry, but I think you two are going to need someone less scruffy to smooth the way."
Both the doctor and Mal let out simultaneous protests of "scruffy" that was soundly ignored, though Kaylee giggled. Mal scowled ferociously and folded his arms over his chest.
"Simon has the look, but I'm sorry, you just aren't a good enough actor,"
Inara continued with an apologetic glance at the young surgeon. Simon smiled ruefully, no doubt recalling his last attempt at Higgins' Moon. "That's all right. I can live without the excitement."
"Zoe can't, and Kaylee and River are both too young. Jane..."
They all considered Jane, who belched and scratched his belly.
"Exactly."
Inara smiled brightly at Mal.
"That leaves me."
Mal's scowl grew to epic proportions, but Zoe knew every twitch of expression in the man. He couldn't come up with a reasonable protest. He was beaten, and he knew it. "You even got a business suit?" he growled finally.
"Oh, I'm sure I can come up with something. I came up with hiking boots, didn't I?"
Mal mumbled something profane under his breath, but finally said,
"All right, fine." "Brilliant," said the doctor happily. "I do love a spot of espionage."